John 8. John 8. We are continuing and returning, I would say the best way, right? We're returning back to our study and getting back right into John 8. I did go back and forth as we went through for our missions month, whether or not to do something different. Just for a Sunday or two. But I think that this is a good passage for us to look at. As the title I have is, Why Do You Not Understand What I Say? This is a question Jesus asks, but he doesn't ask it and expect an answer. He asks and answers it. But this may be a question you have for when you're trying to talk to others about Christ. I sure know I've had this question in my mind over the past few weeks, months, in these times that our nation, going through election time and things, I am a little confused why some don't understand what Jesus says about sin, what Jesus says about the Word of God. And he's going to, I like his, Lawson titled his sermon on this passage, When Jesus Plays Hardball. Because this scene that's given to us is broken up for me. So I know I told you I would try to handle each scene, but this is broken up for me. So I'm taking that, opportunity to break this up. But Christ is talking to these Pharisees here, and this is a continued conversation. Last time we were together, the title was, The Truth Will Set You Free. Again, taken right from the passage, Jesus says, The truth will set you free. And they immediately respond with, What are you talking about? We're not in bondage. We're not enslaved. Which I find kind of humorous, because they really thought they were free, huh? With Rome showing up and telling them, hey, I got a bag here. Carry it. Well, I don't want to. Really? You carry because I said so. I'm a Roman, and you do whatever I say because you're under Roman rule. Kind of ironic. But Jesus wasn't talking about slavery of that sort in a physical way. He was talking about the spiritual sense. And that they can't get away from sin. They were in bondage to sin. Another key doctrine to understanding that you must understand that helps you when witnessing and talking to people about Christ. Because many don't believe themselves to be in bondage of sin, or at least not as bad as the other guy, right? I mean, I'm not as bad as my neighbor. You want to see someone bad, come over to my house and watch my neighbor. It's kind of creepy that you watch your neighbor that much, but let's just move on from there. That's what we do, right? We just shift it. I'm not as bad as that guy, or bad as this girl, or I'm not doing this. I mean, the coworker. They compare themselves. Well, what does the Bible tell us to do? The Bible tells you to compare yourself to God. He says, be ye holy as I am holy. Immediately, he says, I can't do that. Amen. There is the sense that you need. You can't do it. But he can. See, that's why Jesus came. It wasn't to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. That's verse 17. 3:16, many of us know. But 17 is so important. So is the rest of that entire group there to verse 21. But he sent Christ so that we could have salvation through him. We can't have salvation any other way. We can't do enough moral good deeds because we keep messing up. He expects perfection. And the only way you can have perfection is through Christ. So what's the issue here? He comes to these Pharisees and talks to them. And he gives them three major issues they have in this passage here, verses 39 to 47 we'll be looking at today. They have the wrong works. The wrong works. Secondly, they've got the wrong belief. And thirdly, they've got the wrong father. Wrong works, wrong belief, and wrong father. All these things, they didn't think so. They genuinely, sincerely believed they had the right works, the right belief, and the right father. But guess what? They were sincerely wrong. See, some people, it's just, as long as you're sincere, right? Just be really sincere. You can be sincerely wrong, too. We've met plenty of people that are very sincere about what they believe in. But if they believe something wrong or believe something that could cause harm to people, we have a problem with that. Jesus had a problem with them because the path they were on was leading them to hell. This is Jesus giving them opportunity to turn from the wrong works, the wrong belief, and that wrong father. But he will explain to them and challenge them in ways that some people would think, why would you bring this up, Jesus? Why talk about these things? Because people need to understand some key issues when witnessing to them. So those who can stand, please stand with me as I'm going to read John chapter 8, verses 39 to 47. Starting in verse 39. They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, the man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works of your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is because you are not of God." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Powerful, powerful passage here, Lord. Please, Lord, let me speak what you want spoken. And Lord, teach us what we know not here. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, ironically, right, when you read this passage, this is not the text that you hear when you go to a open-air evangelism class and they say, all right, let's learn how to open-air teaching, all right? When you go out, emphasize to the people these things. This isn't the passage they usually turn to, is it? Now, before we're so quick to say that, well, he was talking to the Pharisees. Okay. True. I strongly believe there was many others listening. I also strongly believe that before we just dismiss it, we must understand that why would he emphasize these things to the Pharisees? Because they had a knowledge of God. Right? They had a knowledge. But you see the responses. The responses are interesting, but they're also that you can tell that they have some knowledge of who Abraham was. They're trying to get into a theological debate with him, you know, especially when they respond, well, we're not born of sexual immorality. What does that mean? Well, that can lead you down a whole rabbit trail there. Is he saying that they're of Ishmael? Is that what Jesus is trying to teach them? They could have easily went down that path, as some would say that that's what Jesus is trying to teach them. And that's what they were trying to say. We're not of Ishmael, we're of Isaac. Or it could be that they're just trying to mock who he is. which they kind of jab at him in verse 48. Are you not right in saying you're a Samaritan and have a demon? Are they trying to jab at him because, listen, let's not forget, you're the one who doesn't have a legitimate father. There was a whole teaching about that then. That Mary had relations with a Roman soldier and that's why it was kept so quiet. Crazy teaching that was back then. Crazy. Why? Well, if you can delegitimize the speaker, then no one will believe him. Right? That's what you do. When you can't find something to stick to that person, or to the message, then you just attack the person speaking. And we see that today, don't we? When you try and witness to people, they'll quickly say, well, I don't want to believe because I can't go to church because there's too many hypocrites. Or, don't you remember that day you did this or that? How can you tell me that I am a sinner and you do what you do? They try to get off the message. As I mentioned earlier, Jesus just got done talking to them in verses 31 to 38, emphasizing their conflict with sin. Sin is a major issue here. They had the wrong works. They had the wrong works. They compare themselves to Abraham, and he quickly says, if you were of Abraham, verse 39, you would be doing what the works Abraham did. What did Abraham do? Abraham, we read in James 2, verse 21 to 24, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. The scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and was not by faith alone. Now we must be careful there. We don't want to go down a rabbit trail and start saying that, well, works save you. No, because works apart from faith is useless. What happened there is the story of Abraham and Isaac is so important for us to catch. I love as a preacher, I cannot remember which one said this. It said that the angel came and grabbed that knife that he was going to put in his son and held it and waited till Jesus was on the cross and put it in the son of God. What a picture. Abraham, as we can read that, shared in other places, Hebrews, that he believed that if he were to do that, Jesus could easily raise, or God could easily raise him from the dead. Because he knew God promised. God made promises. See, Ryle puts it this way, we must never forget the importance of works if put in the right place. They cannot justify us. They are at best full of imperfection. But they are useful evidences and serve to show whose we are, and what our religion is worth. It's where the rubber meets the road, right? Because you meet plenty of people that say they're Christians, plenty of people who say they're followers of Jesus Christ, plenty of people say they believe in the Bible, but their works seem odd. Jesus gives them a plain example, right? Verse 40, you seek to kill me. You seek to kill me. If you don't believe that, you can just read ahead in verse 59. They pick up stones to throw at him. He called them out. Earlier, he knew what was in their hearts. See, it's not just about this outward thing. Jesus calls them out, right? Jesus taught them it's about the inward things. So many people say, well, I haven't committed adultery. And Jesus says, well, if you thought in an impure way about a woman, you've already done it in your heart. He goes after the things. He says, well, I've never murdered. Well, if you've hated your brother or your sister, you've committed murder. Jesus attacks the heart. He says there's an inward issue. It's called sin. Sin. Romans 2, 28, 29 says, no one is a Jew who's merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical. But a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart. By the Spirit and not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. See, they're emphasizing this. And Paul teaches this in Romans. You're not just a Jew, or you're not just a follower of God because you're born in this lineage. Sure, they could say that, well, we're from this lineage, we're of this line, here you go. But no, it's more about the heart. See, they're seeking to kill him. Kill him. On what? On what merit? What could they do, right? He questions them later. There's a major issue with these folks. Verse 42. It says, if you were of God, you would what? Love me. They don't love Jesus. Therefore, they don't love God. And it goes vice versa, church. You don't get God if you, or you don't get Jesus if you hate God. Someone said, I like the God of the New Testament, not the one of the Old Testament. They're the same. They're the same. You're not sure? Read Revelation. They're the same. How could God react in such a way? Romans tells us he's storing up wrath. Enjoy your days of grace. Enjoy your days of mercy. There's coming a day. Judgment time will come. They don't love Christ. Church, this is a red flag. But you say, well, Pastor, I meet so many people that say they love Jesus. Okay. If you were to show them a passage like this, would they still say they love Jesus? Using lines like saying, you're of your father, the devil. Lines like, you can't come to me unless my father draws me. See, the thing is, church, we must do, as Paul said, Acts 20:27, I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God. What did Paul teach from? Did he teach from Acts? Something to chew on, right? When he told Timothy, make sure you give to the public reading of Scripture, was he just talking about that letter that he wrote to them? What Scripture was they talking about? See, so many cling to just little quotes that they like out of the Bible that Jesus says. But they don't look at the whole counsel of what Jesus taught. They don't look at when Jesus shows up and meets those two people walking down the road. He shows them through the entire Old Testament that he was the one that the whole Old Testament was pointing to. He doesn't say, open up to Matthew. It was still being written. He shows them through the whole counsel of the Word of God. And that's where we would agree, right? John 6:60. This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? These are hard. I like as Lawson says, right? Some of them aren't hard to understand. They're just hard to swallow. We preach them and we teach them to people and they say, well, that's hard. And we should just right away tell them. I know. It's hard. But it's truth. Church, truth is hard at times, isn't it? The doctor comes in the room and gives you hard truth. Would you want him to lie to you? If they could help? No, you'd want them to tell you the truth. You'd want the doctor to tell you the truth and talk about what the plan is. No matter how hard the truth was. This is something we must remember, right? When we go out and witness and talk to people, we should have that same mindset that that doctor does, right? Would you like that doctor to walk in, kick in the door and say, hey, you're dying of cancer, have a good day. Walk away, right? Hey, you're a dirty, rotten sinner, burning in hell. Like, that's just great. Okay, thanks. I'm not listening to you, psycho. We should come with a tenderness about it. But we still got to tell them, don't we? You've got to get to that point. Well, Jesus did. He got to the point. He emphasized to them, this is the issue. You've got this major issue. The works you're doing are the wrong works. Now, some of them, like this is, you say, well, this is obvious. Of course, they're trying to kill him. That wasn't obvious, church. This was in their hearts. Okay? It was in their hearts. We have to reveal people's hearts to them at times. Sometimes you just got to talk it through with them. Maybe you do use the Ten Commandment style and show them and say, listen, have you committed these things? Have you lied? Have you stolen? Have you hated someone? You have a sin issue, but we don't leave you there. I'm telling you, there's hope. They have the wrong works. See, as people may emphasize that, well, I love Jesus, but if Jesus hasn't loved them, they don't really love him. Right? Because 1 John teaches us that plainly in 4:19. We love because he first loved us. We love because he loved us first. Why do I love the word? Why do I love preaching the whole counsel of his word? Because that's his word. And because he loved me, I love him. And I love his word. See, the opposite Jesus gives right there in verse 46, right? Which one of you convicts me of sin? There's the chance, right? He serves it to him on a platter. Which one of you convicts me of sin? Do it. Bring it up. In church, that is so important for you to catch. So important. Because if the Jews had something they could pin on him, they would have, right? We know when we come to the day of the court, they bring up lies. But here publicly, they couldn't say anything. They could have easily said that, well, this man that you healed wasn't really healed. Look at it's fraudulent. But they couldn't. Everything he did was perfect. Every miracle he did was perfect. Every message he preached was perfect. They couldn't pin a single thing on him. He serves them. Question. Convict me. Go ahead. Try. You have nothing. The wrong work. Secondly, the wrong belief. The wrong belief. Catch this in verse 40. You seek to kill me. A man who has told you the truth that I heard from who? From God. Matthew Henry says this, the doctrine of Christ is not a plausible hypothesis supported by probable arguments. It was an exact counterpart of the incontestable truths lodged in the eternal mind. It was not only what he had heard from his Father, but what he had seen with him when the council of peace was between them both. This wasn't a new truth. This was a perfect truth that he had seen, understood, wasn't gaining as he moved along. He knew all of it, church. And he was speaking God's truth. So for you to deny what he spoke would be to deny him and therefore deny God. I mean, this is the frustration, right? When you try to witness to somebody who is a name it and claim it or believe that they genuinely have heard from the words of Jesus and they say, well, Jesus told me this. Okay, now if you argue with them, you feel like you're in a pickle, don't you? Because now you're arguing with Jesus. You bring them back to the word and find, does what you say line up with the scriptures? Well, no, it's a new truth. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. I'll stick to his word. If your new truth disagrees with God, then it contradicts his word. And God never contradicts himself. Then you're a false prophet. I don't care how many times you talk and repent about your false prophecies, you need to stop speaking publicly. That's what the Bible says. But so many false prophets will just say, I'm sorry, I had it wrong. And then just keep speaking. The Bible plainly says, you prophesy wrong once, you're out. You want to hold up the Old Testament law? You're stoned. Stop speaking publicly. You're done. You don't get to speak publicly anymore. Very serious. Jesus says that what I've heard is from God. This is serious, church. Because now what he says from continually, Jesus spoke publicly. If they could find something that he said or taught that was contradicting of the word of God. They've got them. They've got them. But they never could. They never could. Verse 44, right? Second half there. You have your father, the devil. Your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character. For he is a liar and a father of lies. I mean, this is serious, right? Out of his character, it's just coming and the abundance of his heart is just overflowing out of wickedness. Like Calvin puts it this way, Christ's argument is this. Whoever is a child of God will acknowledge his firstborn son. But you hate me, and therefore you have no reason to boast that you are God's children. We ought carefully to observe in this passage that there was no piety and no fear of God where Christ is rejected. Hypocritical religion presumptuously shelters itself under the name of God. But how can they agree with the Father who disagree with his only son? You disagree with Jesus' teaching, you get none of it. None of it. This is, some will say, well, what's this big deal about doctrine? Why do we got to do so much? Because that's what Jesus taught. It was solid doctrine. We must be sure that we have it right. There is one gospel. And be sure that you're speaking and preaching the right gospel. Not as like Paul said, not that I'm saying there's different gospels. There's only one. But church, that word is thrown around like crazy now, right? We've got full gospels. As if like there's partial gospels. Jesus spoke the truth to them. And understand this, look at this as he says this. You are speaking. You cannot stand in the truth because there's no truth in him, right? There's nothing truth about the devil. There's nothing. Just like there's nothing truthful in you apart from the work of Christ. Did Jesus just teach us total depravity? That man has an inability to come to God? Unless he does a work inside of them, because their full character is lies deep within themselves. I mean, that's what I see right there. They are doing the same thing, just like they are of the devil. I mean, he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he's a liar, the father of lies. These people are doing the same thing. Just emphasizing lies and lies, and they do that right to the point of the cross. Right to the very point of the cross. Even Pilate said, I can't find anything on this guy. Crucify him. But for what? Tell me something he has done. They couldn't. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. See, it's so hard, right? Because he says, if I were to tell you a lie, then you'd believe me. That just hurts your mind, doesn't it? Wait, what? I read to you in the beginning of service out of John 14. Jesus emphasized there in 14 that Satan had no claim on him. What does that mean? Same thing here. Who convicts me of sin? There was no sin. Satan has no claim on Jesus because he was perfect. He couldn't. He needed Jesus to slip up. That's why he tempted him when he was at the weakest point in his fleshly body. He runs in there thinking, here's my chance. If I can make him do one small sin, I'm hook, line, and sinkered. I've got this one. See, that's the issue with us, church. We are born in sin. We can't get out of it. There's nothing the world can offer. There's nothing the devil can give us. It's just going to continue us in the path of damnation. We need someone who is perfect to be able to save us. That's why God had to send his son. We've got no truth in us. You can look within, as the world tells you. Just look deeper within. And you talk to so many people that do that and try to look within, look within. And eventually, they continue looking within, and sadly, so many end in suicide. They just kill themselves because they can't find any hope within themselves. Then they'll look to the world, and the world will say, smoke this, chew this, eat this, and just forget about it. That just numbs the inevitable. It's still there. That doesn't give any hope. It's all the world can offer. Church, when you're witnessing and talking to people, how often do you have this, right? You're telling them the truth. Why don't they hear it? Because they can't bear it, church. You got to remember what you're telling them. Even when you're speaking the truth of the Word of God, you're speaking judgment upon their souls. It's painful. Don't forget that. I mean, Jesus is giving this to them straight, but he has been so gentle working through this with them for so long, for years, church. Years he's been talking to them. And here we are months away from the cross. Jesus just starts giving it to them straighter and harder, emphasizing these truths to them. The same truths he taught from the beginning. Right? You can go right back to Nicodemus. What did the Pharisees think about him? They knew he was from God. How can you think such a thing and then think to kill a man? Because they're of their father, the devil. Because they had a sin issue deep within their heart that was not settled with God. They kept trying muzzling it down. Well, we're doing so many things good for society. If Jesus continues with this kind of stuff is not, it's going to ruin our work with the Romans. It's going to ruin things that are going on. We can't have this. You can't have this. This is not going with the agenda that we have. We've taught something totally different than what Jesus is teaching. If he gets this power, this isn't going to work. We've been telling the people there's coming one who's just going to sack Rome and take it over. This guy's riding on a colt. This can't be it. This can't be the one we're waiting for. But I like as the people chewed on it, right? Remember reading that back? As they sat there chewing on it, they said, but when the Messiah comes, will he be able to do something greater than this one? Let's not forget the ones who were sent to arrest him. They come back empty-handed because they've never heard a man talk like this. Not the miracles, just his speech. His words, powerful. He just told the truth. Quick quote from Ryle before we get to the last point. J.C. Ryle said, let us note in this verse how strongly and directly our Lord rebukes his enemies. There are times when strong condemnation becomes a positive duty, and we must not refrain from it through fear of being charged with severity, personality, and harshness. Church, I think we're in those times now. Because you speak the truth to this world, boy, they just don't like it at all, in the slightest. They don't want to hear that they've been born in sin. They want to think that they've been, since their infant age, they've been told they're good. All through their entire school years, they're told that deep down inside, they're good. They're good. And then they come to church and the pastor speaks something totally different. What's the issue? The last issue they have is they have the wrong father. I mean, this is verse 41. You're doing the works of your father that they quickly go back. This doesn't make sense. Verse 44, in case they missed it, you're of your father, the devil. He doesn't want them trying to twist his words. He's just going to give it to them straight. And let's make sure the public hears it. These people are of their father, the devil. Now, I'm sure disciples sitting there thinking, well, there we go. Just when we thought we could build the church. Way to go, Christ. I mean, We had 20,000 the other day. You're feeding them. Things are going great. And then you just start teaching these hard things. You get into John 6. My goodness. Now what are we going to do? What's the issue, church? These Pharisees, so many today would just welcome these people right into the church, right? Because their duties publicly look so good. But if you sat down and discussed deep doctrine and theology, you'd find that they did not believe what Jesus taught. Therefore, they are not followers of God. This is why you have to get down to the nitty-gritty. People say, why? What's the point? Because this happens. It can lead you down a terrible path. You could think that this person is leading you correctly. But if they continue pushing aside, look, we're seeing it still today, right? Folks that have been preachers and teachers for a while, and then they find out their personal lifestyle is filthy, and it finally becomes public because you can only hide it so long. Calvin says this, as we are called the children of God, not only because we resemble him, but because he governs us by his Spirit. Because Christ lives and is vigorous in us so as to conform us to his Father's image. So on the other hand, the devil is said to be the father of those whose understanding he blinds, whose hearts he moves to commit all unrighteousness, and on whom, in short, he acts powerfully and exercises his tyranny. The proof is in their works, that they are of their father, the devil. Church, we see so many who are clinging to be followers of God, yet they are holding up signs publicly. I mean, now it's public, right? It's so few is private anymore. You got Facebook and Twitter and all these things. People just put it right out there. And they will support murder. What the world calls abortion. They support murder. Slaughtering. They'll support things that God says no to. Homosexual agendas. God says no. Times have changed, Pastor. I don't care. He's never changed. Ever. 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 Changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Pretty sure that covers all of it. That's all of it. He doesn't change. He says no. Right, dads? I mean, how hard is that? You tell a kid no, but what about this? No. Well, can I do it kind of this way? No. What don't you understand about no? No. But the world keeps twisting it and turning it. And they'll come out with a different version of the Bible. Different this of the Bible. Well, we're going to change that. Well, we're just going to disconnect or become unhinged from the Old Testament and just emphasize the love of Jesus. So we're going to drop all the judgment things? Are you serious? Do you think you're more gracious than God Almighty? You're combing their hair while they're sitting in the electric chair. How sick is that? God's got a special place for you. And it's not in heaven. You mislead his children. He says, I got a special place for you. I said that once to a teacher of false teaching, and they didn't like that. Well, that's what Jesus said. Because they genuinely believed that because I preach the Bible and teach the Bible, that I was going to one of their levels of heaven. And he said, well, what do you think about me? I said, well, there's a special place for you. Great. In hell. What? Jesus said so. Because you teach something different than his what he taught when he was on this earth. Church, this is serious. And you say, well, of course, Pastor. I mean, I would agree that's serious. I mean, you're saying things so harsh. So harsh. I mean, the world would just label this as being uncaring. You're judgmental. Doesn't your Bible say, judge not? It does. The Bible also says there's no God. But before that, it says a fool says in his heart there is no God. So quit being a fool and read the rest of the passage afterwards. Get your context. Get your study book out and start reading the Bible in its whole context. The proof was they didn't love Christ. Secondly, they wanted to murder. There's such a hate, hostility, even those who claimed back with Nicodemus, right? He showed them. Listen, we've been talking and we know you're of God. This is amazing. But Jesus didn't support their teaching. Jesus showed them that what they were teaching was false. Well, now we got to get rid of this one. Even though they understood that he must be of God. What's the issue, though? Church, this is the issue we have, right? They don't hear. This is a constant problem we see, right? When he brought up the bread, they didn't get it. They think he's talking about literal bread, right? When he's talking about the bread and the blood, they're like, this guy's sick. He wants us to eat him? This guy's teaching cannibalism? This doesn't make any sense. Go all the way back to Nicodemus, right? You must be born again. How can I do that? I'm going to go back into my mother? That doesn't even make any sense. The Sunday school, we just talked about Jeremiah, the new covenant. He's taught it. He emphasized it to them. Ezekiel, Jeremiah, the prophets. What did they do with Jeremiah? They loved Jeremiah, right? They gave him a nice little podium, spot to speak. No, they threw him in a hole. They didn't want to listen to him. He kept telling them that you need to repent and quit the sinfulness and turn back to God. Judgment is coming upon you. Oh, just shut up, man. Go sit in a hole. You can take the messenger and get rid of him like they did to Jesus. But listen to me. The Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. There's coming that day. They're of the wrong father. Wrong father. I mean, earlier we look at verse 31. If you believe me, my word would abide in you. Verse 38. I speak what I've seen with my father, and you do not. You have heard from your father. If the word of God, if they were truly children of God, the word of God would abide in them. I mean, he just drives the punch home, right? Verse 47, whoever's of God hears the words of God. Amen. The reason why you do not hear from God is because you're not of God. Ouch. Church, this is why so many people have a hard time. They don't hear it. You read it to them, you show it to them, and you think that just instantly, like they just ding. They don't get it because they're not of God. Church, I know so many teach that we're all children of God. It's totally wrong. Totally false teaching. Right here. If they were of God, they would believe his word. If they were of God, the word would abide in them. I'm not saying they're going to live perfect lives. But they're going to have a hunger to do what their Savior has called them to do. It'll be in there. That's why Paul challenges them consistently and constantly. If this has happened to you, examine yourself. Be sure that you're in the faith. Why? Because he lived it. He was the Pharisee of Pharisees. He had lived a lie. So he understood. That's why you read the book of James. You're like, man, this guy seems so harsh. Because he didn't believe Jesus when he was alive. So he wants to make sure that you don't just go running around saying it and just saying, well, because I do these nice things, because I do all this, that means I definitely am. No, it's got to be inside there. The problem is not the external, it's the internal. That's uncomfortable, church. Anything you do internally is uncomfortable, right? You ever go to the doctor and it's comfortable when they do anything internally in you? Now, that's why they knock you out, right? Because you're not going to sit still. You're going to squirm. I mean, they can't even do a swab of the back of your throat. They got to have you sit on your hands, right? They're nervous about you. You might just reflex at them. They knock you out because it's uncomfortable. Jesus exposed their internals right in front of everybody right here. Paul talks about this in Romans 3, right? No one does. That's right. That's what Jesus said in 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. The Father must do the work so that they will come. Church, I think about these things. This is so important. I mean, the prologue, right? John 1, verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. The right? You have no right unless he's given it to you. You don't go up and demand salvation. He grants it to you. It's his work. Ryle answers, he says it right here. Our Lord in this verse supplies an answer to his own questions. Don't you love that? And conclusively proves the wickedness and ungodliness of his hearers. He who is a true child of God hears with pleasure, believes and obeys God's words, such as I bring to you from my Father. You, by not hearing and believing and obeying them, prove plainly that you are not God's children. If you were, you would hear gladly, believe and obey. You're not hearing. Proves conclusively that you're not, that you are, what I said, children, not of God, but of the devil. I really think if the church in its entirety understood this more, there would be a prayer meeting at every church. Why do I say that? Because we wouldn't be trying to figure out how we can come up with a slick language, a slick thing. We would understand that if we truly want to see folks turn to God, we know God has to do the initial work. So what can we do? We can pray. We can pray. We can bathe them in prayer. Spend a lot of time at the throne. To me, I see here there's a need for us to spend more time at the throne than arguing with the person. God's got to do that work. God's got to draw that person so that they will start listening and hearing. All right? He who has ears, let him hear. Why do you say that? Because some of you got ears on your head, but you ain't hearing. Because you're not of your Father, God. God must do a work so that your ears start working. So that you'll hear him and understand him. Right? You meet so many. Say, well, I've read through the Bible. Nothing. Because they have ears, but they don't hear. God must do a work. I know it's a challenge, church, when we witness to people. For we must preach and teach the whole counsel of God. But why did Jesus get into this? Why even bring it up? To prick their hearts, church. To prick their hearts. I mean, would anyone deal with something as serious as cancer unless you genuinely told them the seriousness of it? Right? If they knew no knowledge, they had no knowledge of what cancer could do and what cancer could lead them to, and you just said you had cancer and left it there, they might be like, hey, well, I feel all right. Okay. But we have to explain this to them. And I know it's not comfortable. You need to remember it's not comfortable. So even when they change their tone, you need to keep your tone. Gentle. And watch God work. Does it happen all the time? No. Because, church, we must remember, too, is that he said narrow is the way. Few are they that choose it. We must remember when we preach this word that what did Jesus say, right? Verse 42. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. If while Jesus was on this earth, he made sure to stick to God's message, we most certainly should stick to the same message. Don't try changing it. Jesus didn't. He stuck to what was planned before the foundations of this earth were laid. Let's not mess with that, right? The Trinity was there in conversation. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit had it all planned out. There wasn't a plan B. This is a perfect work. Let's stick to the perfect work. I know the world doesn't like it. He told us they wouldn't like it. He told us to go out there, preach the word, baptize them in the name of who? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You got to get all three. You don't get Jesus and get to skip out on God. You don't get the Holy Spirit and just say, I'll take a little bit of Jesus and a little bit of God. It's not how it works. It's all Father, all Jesus, all Holy Spirit. And we proclaim it to the nations. We tell everyone. No matter their ethnicity, doesn't matter what religion they claim they are, because there's only two religions, church. I love that. Paul Washer said, you come to my religious class, I'll teach you. It's really simple. There's two religions, the right one and the wrong one. Emphasize the right one, and you won't need to know too much about the wrong one. Emphasize the truth. Because why? What does the truth do, church? Sets you free. People are in bondage. How could they support such things? How could they do it with joy? Because they're of their Father. He loves lies. Think he was excited when he led Eve and deceived her to watch this world fall apart? Think they were excited when Jesus was on the cross? Psalm 22 gives you a little picture of that. Think he's excited when he sees the church being abused and misused in this world today? But that's why he gave us his word, so that we can stand strong. We can lean on it. We don't need to let our hearts be troubled, right? He said, don't let your hearts get troubled. I'm preparing a place for you. They take whatever from us, church. Remember, this isn't home. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your word. I thank you for this passage, Lord, and Lord, some solid reminders that I needed too. So many claim to be followers of you, God. Yet they deny your Son through their works, their beliefs, and they show us, Lord, they are not of you. Lord, please help us. Help us to understand those times that we may need to give the hard, honest truth. No matter how they may react, we pray that, Lord, there would be times of encouragement, Lord. Times when we press hard, that we would be able to see your Spirit work. And allow that one hard push to be what causes that stony heart to just fall apart. Lord, we pray. Lord, please let us see your new covenant wonderfully at work in souls here in our community. God, please take stony hearts out and give them hearts of flesh. Lord, I know there's many in this church, Lord, have got loved ones. Loved ones, Lord. Lord, please. Please, Lord, do a work in souls. We know, God, that you are the Creator. You can take a situation that has totally fallen apart and create something beautiful. Please, take these hard hearts. Do a work in our community, Lord. Do a work in our families. And Lord, we pray for our nation that we live in. God, there's so many. We're so happy, so joyous to do such wickedness. They are doing the works of the Father. Lord, please, please help our leadership, Lord. Please do a work in their hearts. We know it's not external that needs to change. We know it's internal. Please do a work in our governor, the legislators, God. Please do a work in all of the leadership, God. Please. Prick their hearts, God. We thank you, Lord, that even in this time of our prayers, such power to be at your throne, pleading for souls. Lord, as we go from here, let us continue in your work. Let us not be silent about your gospel. Let us preach the whole counsel of your word. So that when we stand before you, we can tell you that you could know and see in our lives, we gave your gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.